Live from State Street and the Old National Bank Studio, this is Waddle and Sylvie. See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Or listen to the ESPN Chicago app, ESPN 1000 and 100.3 HD2.
This is WMVP, WSHE HD2 Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, we're on early, Waddle and Sylvie. Carmen and Yurko were on 10 to noon. You can get their podcast if you're used to hearing them. And, of course, you are because they're great. You can get it on the ESPN Chicago app. We've been live and local all day. We've got White Sox baseball at 2:30. It's a super busy day, a great day to be live and local all day. We have the Roquan Smith trade request with both Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus. Meeting the media now at Soldier Field. The Bears practiced at Soldier today for their family fest. And then Russ Dorsey is reporting that Tim Anderson will be out 4 to 6 weeks with a torn ligament in his thumb. Like we've continued to say week after week after week, it's always something with this team. They've had their share of injuries. They've had their share of dumb plays. They've had their share of streaky hitting. It's just,
Tony's going to get him some more Leury Garcia. That's what he's going to get, right?
Oh, you know that. Yeah. Leading off.
Lead
and
that thing
shortstop.
Off. You got Leury leading off. Probably Yasmani Grandal, who runs about as fast as my mom, batting second. Who we got? Eloy batting third, who's ripping the cover off the ball, but is just a tick faster than Yasmani Grandal.
Vaughn's going to bat ninth.
By the way, the Tim update is the injury update brought to you by Rush University's System for Health. Don't let COVID-19 sideline you this season. Rush encourages everyone to get vaccinated, wear a mask, don't delay your care in person or virtually. Rush is here for you. Visit rush.edu.
All right. Let's get some quotes here, guys. I know Tyler and Meller are working hard to get some of these Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus quotes, and our training camp coverage is brought to you by your Chicagoland Midas franchises. What do you got here, guys? What can you update us on?
You know what, Sylvie? Why don't I got a chunk here. Ryan Poles. It's about a 2.5-minute chunk with some Q&A from the reporters as he met the media just moments ago discussing Roquan Smith's trade demand and contract discussions.
With that said, I mean, there's record-setting pieces of this contract that I knew for a fact was going to show him the respect that he deserves, and obviously that hasn't been the case. With that said, you know, we can't lose sight that this isn't about one player. My job is to build a roster that's going to sustain success for a long period of time. And at the end of the day, we got to do, you know, what's best for the Chicago Bears. So I'll take a few questions from you. I just wanted to make sure I got up. I addressed this with you. We know what's going on. And we're doing everything we can to get this done.
Ryan, is your intention to trade him as his request asks for, or do you think something can be worked out here?
Right now, my intentions are to sign Roquan to this team. And we're going to take it day by day. And at the end of the day, we got to do what's best for this organization. But my intentions are to make sure Roquan Smith's on this team.
Were you aware that it was this dire, I guess, in his mind?
It's a little bit. You know, like, there's always going to be a little bit of separation. But at the same time, like, for an extension, it's got to make sense for both sides. And obviously, we're not at that point for him to put that out there.
Ryan, what was your reaction to his message that was shared with Ian Rappaport as far as the organization not valuing him?
Yeah, like I said, when we engaged and we brought it, we brought it. And I thought there was a lot of respect in where we're at right now. That obviously that's not good enough for him and his party, but I feel like we showed respect with what we've done and showed value for who he is as a football player and what he can become.
Have the negotiations been him directly to you because he doesn't have an agent? How does that work?
Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult. There's emotions involved, and it's tough. It's a very unique situation that we've had to deal with, and I thought we've done a pretty good job, which, again, that's why I'm a little disappointed that we're at this spot. But, again, that's where we're at. Want to let you know, and if anything changes, I'll update you.
There you go.
Yeah, so you can tell he's a little irritated that this all became public in the manner in which it did. But look, to me, it is, again, there were two things that stood out to me. First of all, I like his willingness to speak. And it's not something that I think the previous, it doesn't equate to wins. But I do like his willingness to actually address the conversation. Again, not suggesting it means that they're going to get a deal done or that they're going to win 15 games this year. But personally, I like his willingness to actually kind of at the very least speak on it. He talked about record-setting aspects of this contract. Well, that's well and good, but if it also includes de-escalated clauses, then I would never sign. I would never, if I was an agent, I would never advise a client to sign a contract that says, and by that, I thought the good kid, you know,
well, explain this. Can you back up one sec here? Explain to people who don't understand contract terms about de-escalator clauses in layman's terms.
That's what I was going to say. And Johnny talked about this earlier. It's like, listen, we'll pay you this, and this will make you the highest paid middle linebacker in the game as long as you're on the field. But we have the right to not pay you this per game if, in fact, you're injured or you're not in uniform. It's the reason why I think in the language that Ian Rappaport used in his tweet was that of most of the top paid players in the league, none of them have de-escalator clauses because, as Yurko talked about, there's an inherent risk that the player assumes by playing this vicious game. The team needs to assume the risk that this player may get hurt playing his nuts off out there. So you're not, it's a lose-lose. First of all, I would never advise a player to sign something that only pays him if he's available to play, especially someone as accomplished as Roquan. Maybe for a player who hasn't proven himself, that's fine. But for someone like Roquan, you would never sign a contract. I wouldn't, that had a de-escalator clause. And the other thing is it's a lose for the team as well. Because if you put it in the mind of the player that he's only going to get paid this top price if he's healthy, then you take away the incentive for him to actually play full speed at all times, because if he's worried about getting injured, which means he won't get paid, he's not going to be the player. So you're not going to get the player that you need. So
isn't that how you get hurt, is when you don't play hard, when you're careful about getting injured?
Yes, but it's a lose-lose for the team and for the player. It makes no sense to me.
Like, I wouldn't want it if I was Roquan, I don't want that in there, because the team already has the power because of the way NFL contracts are. It's guaranteed money, and it's guaranteed money alone. Yes. And then they always have the right to, once, you know, eat the dead money and not pay you for years 4 or 5 or whatever. So, yes, when now they've got a double dip of power because it's in the personal services contract, I wouldn't want that if I was Roquan.
I wouldn't want it on either side. If you believe in the player paying, you know, I mean, this is for like a guy who hasn't proven himself. Well, if you're on the roster, you get paid this. If you're on the practice squad, you get paid that. Well, Roquan's not going to be on the practice squad. So to me, that is a kind of a, and again, I don't know the details of it, but that would be a red flag for me if I was the player.
So the way the game is usually played when there's an agent is the agent will get on the phone with one of these power guys who report on the league, Schefter,
yes,
Rappaport, who got this one. And they will say, so-and-so wants a trade. And that's how, and that way the player, like Debo Samuel, DK Metcalf, who both got deals, ended up, but they were not happy, and there was talk about trades. Debo for sure. Russell Wilson never went up on the podium and said, I don't trust my general manager. I don't believe in his belief in me. I want the owners to get involved. It's the agent who does the quote dirty work and also shields you from the dirty language that the front office may use, take it or leave it.
It gets personal from both ends. And again, like, we don't know Ryan Poles very well, but I personally felt like you could sense that he was a little disturbed by the fact that this did get personal. And that's why I said before we heard the sound, this is where Ryan Poles, as a first-time general manager, has to tap the brakes on how he responds to this. You've got to be able to separate your own pride and ego from this situation. As I said before the break, this is where Ryan Poles would tell an agent, F off. You can't tell the player F off because it makes it more personal. And it's not personal, but that's how the negotiation goes. Like, get the F out of here. You're not going to get this. You're not going to get that. But he doesn't make that comment to the player. He makes it to the player's representative. That's how the negotiation goes.
But on the other side of things, though, too, this was always my worry in the Bears hiring a bunch of guys who have never done the job at this level. Every one of them. Getsy's never called plays. Eberflus has never been a head coach. And now Poles has never been in a contract dispute with him leading the charge. It's always been a reason why I wanted a football president or someone overseeing that.
Yeah.
You know, remember when George was making fun of you? It was because of how he was making the comp that Ryan Pace still wasn't early in his career great at it because he hadn't done it before.
Had to learn.
And just like Waddle, when he started his broadcast career, you know, he's gotten better. He wasn't so good when he started. I would like better guidance inside the building also for Poles other than Ted and George.
And that, I agree with that perspective. It's why I always also have been a fan of having a football president. It's exacerbated by the fact that your best football player in this contract dispute is representing himself.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Not only are you in a contract dispute, you're in a unique contract dispute where the player is doing the negotiating for himself.
Now, he referenced again that there were some record-setting aspects of this. I don't know what the details are. If he's telling me, to me, as I said, this should be pretty easy math. The two highest-paid middle linebackers or highest-paid comps are Fred Warner and Shaq Leonard. Am I correct about that?
Yeah.
So,
and Shaq Leonard is Darius Leonard, who now is going by his middle name, right?
Correct,
of what he was brought up going by in Shaq.
Yes. So Leonard is making about almost $20 million a year, and I think Fred Warner is about $19 million a year. 5 years, do the math, 5 years, $90 million is what? I mean, that's $18 million a year. Okay, if it's 5 years, $95 million, then it's $19 million a year. If Roquan Smith would be speculating, if Roquan Smith is being offered a contract that is 5 years to 90 to 95 million, me as a fan, I think that's fair. I think it's fair for Roquan. I think it's fair for the Bears. It doesn't make him higher paid than Darius or Shaq Leonard or Fred Warner, but I think many people would tell you that he's a tick behind them.
Right, right. Well, and this has always been our thing. Meller and I have seen eye to eye on this, on the quarterback thing. I've never been of the belief that you simply pay a guy top dollar because he's up. I don't believe Roquan Smith deserves to be the highest paid inside linebacker because now his timing is after Fred Warner.
And after
Shaq Leonard. Yeah. I always think that there's room there. But the player always thinks, because I'm Lamar Jackson now, and they've handled things way more. It's been a lot different the way he's practiced. He hasn't bellyached. He believes in himself. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, too, by the way, have this front office who's been through all the wars.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe that's another reason why it's quieter on that front. But getting back to this point is I just don't believe that you simply hand Lamar Jackson Deshaun Watson money because now he's up. And Lamar Jackson is not the best quarterback.
No.
He doesn't deserve it. It was a unique circumstance that Watson got the deal that he got, or else Cleveland never would have gotten him. Baltimore already has Lamar Jackson. Now, the player always thinks, it's my turn, I'm up. Maybe Roquan is saying, I need to be the top inside linebacker because of the timing. And I understand if Ryan Poles would say, we don't believe you should be the top guy.
I think you also factor in the importance of the position, and this chaps people's asses. But the middle linebacker, he's important. He's not as important as your outside linebacker in a 3-4 defense that's going after the passer. It's not as important as a defensive end that is coming off the ball. He's not as important in my world as the wide receiver that can change a game. He's not important as a quarterback or even the cornerback. Yeah,
the left tackle.
It's a nature of the position.
Bears, the Bears, by the way, have vacancies in a lot of those areas.
Absolutely.
The Bears are going to have to go out and get a wide receiver with Mooney. Bears are going to have to go out and sign probably a tackle at some point here. They're going to have to pay for a lot of this stuff.
So, look, again, we still don't know the numbers. But if he is getting an offer that is in the same ballpark as what the two, I think Fred Warner and Shaq Leonard are considered by most football people as the two best guys at those positions. And listen, I think Roquan has been a Pro Bowl caliber player for the last couple of years. He's never made one. Now,
does that hurt him?
Yes, in negotiations,
of course. Just because a line on a paper?
Absolutely.
Like this is where the snub could hurt.
Absolutely.
Where it, because of the on the resume, it doesn't list Pro Bowl.
Right. Like, we think you're really good, but you've never, you know, Darius Leonard was the defensive player of the year or the rookie. I think he was the rookie defensive player of the year. He's been to like three or four Pro Bowls. Fred Warner's been to a couple of Pro Bowls. I think Roquan has been a Pro Bowl caliber player, but not having that on his resume is probably hurting him in the contract negotiation world. And maybe Roquan's like, I just got snubbed. I should still be paid more than them. It's not my fault that people didn't vote for me, but put my film on. Like, this is where the negotiation
the nuance comes in.
This is where the negotiation gets difficult. It gets personal, and having a go-between, you know, in the form of an agent makes it a little smoother.
Where an agent who's been through these wars will say, Ro, just keep staying in shape.
Yeah.
Make sure you're ready. We're going to get this done.
Yeah.
It's not ready to get it done now. But Roquan hears take it or leave it. Roquan hears this is where we're at. You either have to accept this or we'll figure something else out. And he gets upset and emotional and he fires off that.
And here we are.
Steve on the South Side. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. I got a question for you. And I'm going to try and put it in like normal terms. I was trying to explain it to my daughter. When you and Waddle got hired there, the W or ESPN expected you guys to be number one in your time slot, I would imagine, compared to the station down the dial. Now, if you did do that, would you guys say we're not working anymore because we want more money? Or if you were, say, number five in the time slot, can ESPN go and say, hey, I'm going to de-escalate your pay rate? I just feel that what he's doing, I get it, because if he gets hurt in this last season and then he has to renegotiate a contract next year. But people don't do this. If your contract is your contract, you do the best of your ability, and that's just the way it should be.
Well, that's why I said, I said, Steve, there's no de-escalator contract in most contracts. Especially, I mean, in the NFL, maybe is more accepted. The de-escalation, it can get tricky. I think in most instances, it's for whether you're on the regular roster or you're not active for that game. Like, you can only, how many guys are on the roster? 53. How many guys can be active?
46.
Yeah. Okay, so there's seven guys that aren't active every Sunday? For whatever reason, if you're not active, you ain't getting paid X amount of dollars. Those contracts, I think, are more likely to be given to guys that are not proven players. If you are on the big roster, good. If you're not, you know, this is what you make. If you're not dressed on Sundays, you're not going to get paid full price. Like, for guys that don't have the resume of Roquan, maybe those are acceptable parameters. But for someone of Roquan's ability and accomplishment, I would never accept a standard de-escalator in a contract.
The only, again, I think his point, too, at the end was, you signed a five-year contract. We're expecting you to play 5 years. It's just not. The only power the player has is to say that they want trade, they want to be traded or to take away their services in order to speed it up. And the players have used their power in that way.
And look, Roquan really doesn't have a whole lot of leverage here because he's got to play.
Right.
Because otherwise the Bears are still going to own his rights for another year. So he needs to play to earn the ultimate free agency. So, at the end of the day, he can hold out until the very end. I don't know what the date is before he has to come back. And then, you know, the Bears can bench him or whatever, but then he'll get his time for his fifth year. But it doesn't do him any good to sit out this year.
Right. Then you can franchise him.
You can franchise him, yeah.
There's all this stuff. And for a lot of guys who withhold their services, they lose then all of a sudden the worth or value to other teams. Yeah. We've seen it with running backs. Remember, Lance Briggs has done this, too. Someone tweeted me earlier today. Lance Briggs, remember when he wanted to go to San Francisco? Trade me.
Yeah.
He never got traded. He finished here. They got the deal done. This is, in my opinion, I believe this is going to get done.
I agree.
Pat in Minneapolis here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Waddle. Hey, Silly. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You got it.
Hey, so kind of wanted Wall's opinion a little on this. I think for as big as the NFL is, right, the biggest sport in America, I think, do you guys think the PA should wield a little bit more power? And I compare it to the MLB, because the MLB players fought so hard over the years for, hey, no salary cap, and it really helps them when they do get to free agency. They do get paid their worth. So I think, you know, for as big as the NFL is, do you think the PA should wield more power, and do you think that would help guys get paid more, they're paid their worth more when they get to free agency?
Well,
it's a great question.
Look, I mean, the NFL Players Association, their biggest goal is to get the largest piece of the financial pie they can. And, you know, sometimes it makes sense and sometimes it doesn't. You have to also understand the average NFL career is less than 4 years. So you have a push and pull. You have a, you know, you have a group of players that are rank and file guys that some things are important to them because they know their careers are only going to last 5 years. And some things are more important to other guys who are higher level players who have 10 or 12 years. You know, it's more likely they're going to play for a significantly longer period of time. Look, this is a conversation about what the NFL Players Association should be fighting for that would take hours.
I know, but why have they continued to take L's so badly when you compare it to baseball? Where every year, like Jason Hayward's going to get paid the $23 million he's owed next year from year 8 of his deal. Where an NFL player signs in whatever is just, there's guarantee money, and it doesn't matter what the total value of the contract is if he's not on the team. You can be cut year to year no matter what your contract
Look,
says.
Look, you could hold firm, and the entire union could say, we're going to play only if we get guaranteed contracts. Sit out. Nobody, you're not going to get the guys that'll do that. The careers are too short. You know, you're not going to get the entire group of players that decide that what we need to do is basically sit out and strike to get a fully guaranteed contract. It's just not going to happen. Those guys aren't going to do it.
All right. We have a multiple big stories going on right now. We have the Roquan Smith holdout. Ryan Poles just met the media. We played you some of the sound. We'll play you it again in case you missed it. We'll play some Matt Eberflus coming up. Courtney Cronin's going to join the show at 1:45. We also have this breaking story. Have we gotten confirmation from the Sox or anybody, or is it still Dorsey's report?
Dorsey is the only one I'm seeing with this story still about Tim Anderson.
Russell Dorsey is reporting that Tim Anderson is going to miss 4 to 6 weeks with, what was it, a
torn ligament in his hand.
In his hand.
His hand or his thumb.
Yeah. Okay, so that's where we are, where another, it could be another major blow to the White Sox, who continue to suffer just everything. Every possible way that they could suffer, Sox fans have suffered this year. Every time you think they're going to be whole, they're not. Every time you think they're going to start hitting, they don't. Every time you think Tony La Russa is going to stay awake, he doesn't. 312-332-3776.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
We're on early today. Carmen and Yurko were on 10 to noon. You can get their podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. You guys did a crosstalk on Hinge, too. I was told it was very good.
We did, week? Yeah. Yeah, what were we talking about that Johnny wasn't interested in? And then he yelled at us about it. And Carmen and I were having the conversation because he wasn't interested. Oh, aliens. UFOs and aliens.
You're not into that.
No, you're in for a good alien and UFO conversation, aren't you?
Always.
Carmen and I were having a good one, and Johnny just didn't want part of it. And then he was just like, Carmen said something to the effect of, Johnny, you haven't said anything. He goes, I'm not interested.
When you ask, I've learned through the years that there are times where I feel like we're dominating too much of the conversation. It's time to turn to Yurko and be inclusive. He'll talk if he wants to speak.
Yeah,
I've learned that.
Yeah.
And if you call him out
terms.
Or if you say, hey, Yurk, what do you think about that? He'll bark at you.
Yeah.
I've learned, like, and so now I don't, I'll just continue to talk. And when he's ready,
Carmen and I just had the conversation. You know, we had a good alien conversation.
And then you try and tee him up, and then, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Speaking of weird, and let me set the table if you're just getting in. We're on till 2:30. One more hour. Barstool Big Cat will join us at 2. And in about 15 minutes, we'll talk to Courtney Cronin, who is covering all of this. She was on all the national shows yesterday on ESPN. She hasn't missed any of the Bears' time, though. And she'll give us her take and what she's hearing about the Roquan Smith possibility still of getting a deal done. As Ryan Pohl said, his intention is still to sign Roquan Smith. He has to do what's best for the team, but his intention is still having Roquan Smith to be on this team for a long, long time. Also, the TA news, Russell Dorsey is reporting that he could be out 4 to 6 weeks with a torn ligament in his hand. So I want to play you this, speaking of weird, though, too, while we're on this. Okay, this is a quiz. Everyone on Twitch, everyone listening on your car, I call Twitch because they can make comments. I heard our buddy Mo. Mo in Frankfurt is one of the, you know, big listeners of the station. We call him a P1. It's an industry term for preset one on your car radio. You make us your number one choice is basically what it means. So you come to ESPN 1000. It's a we value the diehards and everything like that. We appreciate you. See if, because they didn't react to this. He was bringing up a comparison to Roquan Smith. I want you to tell me if anyone notices anything weird about his analogy. My screen is frozen up. You got to play. No wonder I couldn't see your sound bites. Play it for us, Meller.
Mo's in Frankfurt. What's up, Mo?
Mo.
Hey, guys. Good job so far. It's kind of shocking to hear that Roquan wants to leave. It's kind of like, you know, like when I left my girlfriend, she's like, I hate you. I hate you. I hope you die. But then in the end, she's like, Roquan, you can, you know, you could be one of the best Bears linebackers ever. You know, we'll give you hair, you know, I kind of don't want him to leave. But then again, if he leaves, we better get a pretty penny back, right?
He lost focus there. He did. Did he say something about hair?
I don't know.
He said, we'll give you hair?
I stopped paying attention to the rest of the point when he said that his girlfriend said, I hate you, I hate you, I hope you die.
It's kind of like, you know, like when I left my girlfriend, she's like, I hate you, I hate you, I hope you die.
I mean, that stuck me in my trap.
That sounds like sounds like an unhealthy relationship.
Yeah, I think that sounds like.
But then he said like his girlfriend was like, but Roquan could be one of the best linebackers in the history.
It stopped being about him and his girlfriend. Then it became about his girlfriend and Roquan.
Mo's in Frankfurt. What's up, Mo?
Mo.
Hey guys, good job so far.
Good job. First of all,
that was
also weird too.
Good job so far.
Good job so far. I'm still judging
for Mo. Whenever he's on, he calls into Bleck and Abdallah a lot. It's always good job so far.
Mo's in Frankfurt. What's up, Mo?
Mo.
Hey guys, good job so far. It's kind of shocking to hear that Roquan wants to leave. It's kind of like, you know, like when I left my girlfriend, she's like, I hate you, I hate you, I hope you die. But then in the end, she's like, Roquan, you can, you know, you could be one of the best Bears linebackers ever. You know, we'll give you hair.
We'll give you hair.
I don't want him to leave.
Brian Urlacher thing, again, I guess.
We'll give you hair.
Right?
Well, he was everywhere.
It was everywhere.
He lost focus.
But then he was playing the role of, it was like his girlfriend said, Roquan, all of a sudden his girlfriend, who just told him, I hope you die, now she's talking to Roquan.
Yeah.
Got Roquan takes.
I was actually reading it as, after telling Mo, I hate you, I hate you, I hope you die, but then coming around and saying, but Roquan could still be a great linebacker, Mo. Like, I thought she was saying we can meet in the middle on that.
I was lost the entire time.
I was driving in, and I thought, I said to Meller, I go, when I first saw him, I go, can you do me a favor? Go back to 1028 this morning. Did I hear what I thought I heard from Mo?
I thought there was a skip there was a delay or something. There was a skip that I missed out. Like, there was like a 5 or 6 second part of the interview that just went away.
Was Mo in Frankfurt in a dysfunctional relationship where his ex-girlfriend told him she hopes he dies?
It's kind of like, you know, like when I left my girlfriend, she's like, I hate you, I hate you, I hope you die.
Just doing?
Again, that's a toxic relationship, Mo.
It sounds like that needed to be broken off a long time ago.
Yeah. I hope the Bears and Roquan aren't in that toxic relationship.
No. You need the intermediary here.
And by the way, we did a little bit of research at the break as well. Look, when you are talking about Fred Warner, and more particularly, or more specifically, Shaq Leonard, Shaquille Leonard, formerly Darius Leonard, is not only a three-time Pro Bowler, he's a three-time first-team All-Pro guy. Fred Warner, one Pro Bowl, one first-team All-Pro recognition.
Did Roquan make All-Pro this past year?
No.
He was a second-team All-Pro. Now, I don't know if it was this year or if it was 2 years. Hang on. So he was the AP2 for 2020 and 2021.
But like a backup. He didn't go, right?
He's not the start.
You don't go.
Well, not the Pro Bowl.
No,
as an All-Pro.
All-Pro.
All-Pro second team.
But then it also gets a little hairy because let's pull that from Mo. It gets a little bit hairy because there's like the AP All-Pro, but then the writers, it's a little weird.
The point is that when you get into negotiations, like we can have the conversation all day long that he is an underrated player, hasn't received the recognition that we all think that maybe, because I definitely think he's played at a Pro Bowl level the last 2 years. When you step into a negotiation, that gets thrown at you. And you can respond with, but I'm underrated and I got overlooked. But that's not going to play the way that Darius Leonard steps in and says, hey, first team All-Pro last 3 years.
And it's not only that. Like, you can use, I made the Pro Bowl 3 years in a row. I should get paid like Darius Leonard if you've done that. Or you could use the counterpoint, I didn't make the Pro Bowl, but look at my stats. The problem is Darius Leonard has 11 interceptions in his career to Roquan Smith's 5. Darius Leonard has 4-17 fumbles to Roquan's 1. Darius Leonard has 15 sacks, Roquan's 14. So, and I know we don't really give as much credence to fumble recoveries, but Darius Leonard has 7 of those to Roquan's 1. So everywhere you look, Darius Leonard is significantly better, and he's significantly better at the plays that really matter.
Yeah, I'm really comfortable suggesting to you 5 years, $90 million is a fair deal.
Yeah. And we don't know if the Bears are offering that.
Right.
We don't know anything.
I have no idea.
Jim says this, my buddy Jim, he says, it's why you need a snake oil salesman like Drew Rosenhaus. Guys like that get bleep done. Don't ask how. Just like Drew, do what you do. I'd hire Rosenhaus in a New York minute. We say it all the time. Like, Scott Boras gets the deals done.
Yes.
Say what you want about Scott Boras and how you hate him and how you all this stuff that creates drama. What does he do at the end of the day? He gets a deal done for his client.
And his clients come away without having any dirt attached to them.
And it's why I would want someone who's professionally trained in this to be negotiating on behalf of Roquan Smith with a plan and with a counter move and everything.
Listen, 5 years, $90 million makes him the third highest paid linebacker in the league behind Shaq Leonard and Fred Warner. And I'd be completely comfortable with that.
And it's not going to hamstring you from doing other stuff with all the cap room. And by the way, there are different ways of doing these. If you're good, you can constantly kick the can down the road like the Saints and like the Rams and like all these teams do. Yeah, you'll have to pay the Piper eventually, the Packers with Rodgers, but it's going to be when they suck.
That's right. It's when you kick the can down the road
until
and
you suck.
Yeah.
And then you absorb it all, and then you reset it, and then you start again.
Well, the problem is we've been kicking the can down the road while we suck.
That's the problem.
Right.
So you can never get out of it. Right.
You can't get out of the suck mode as you've kicked the can down the road as you suck.
It's why we call it the circle of suck.
Yes.
Coming up next, Courtney Cronin. Let's see what she is hearing about the negotiations between the two sides. Barstool Big Cat joins us at 2.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Things in this business happen, right? And, there's few things that surprise you. And you take it for what it is and you move forward. And that's what you do. So I really didn't have any reaction. I was disappointed in that, but that's where it is right now. We're working forward. Ryan's going to be working forward with Roquan, and we'll see where it goes.
It's move the drill, Waddle. That's what it is.
It's move the drill. Yeah, that's how coaches respond.
Next man up.
Yeah.
Didn't Jeff Van Gundy tell us that he hates that term?
Yeah.
Because it's not really. You don't want the next man to be up?
No, you don't. I told him I hate the word hezzy that became part of the basketball conversation this past year.
You were out in front of that. Yeah. I didn't know that it was such a unique term. And then I heard it, I think, during the playoffs. All right, let's bring in Courtney Cronin. Courtney does great work. She was in Bristol yesterday on all the television shows doing fantastic work, and she's doing the same on the Bears beat.
I hope they fly her on the corporate plane.
Do you fly on the corporate plane, Courtney?
I flew Economy Plus. It's almost as good as like a private jet.
Better than what we get to fly, yeah.
I got free wine on my way home last night because we were delayed 45 minutes.
Oh, that's good.
Full 8 ounces.
Oh, I was going to say, do they say, here's one glass of free wine, or do they say you get free wine for the rest of the flight?
Well, I had asked, like, it was like 10 o'clock when I was flying home, and I had ordered a glass of wine, and I was fully expecting to, like, hand the person my phone for the contactless payment thing, and the flight attendant just walked away. So I walked away lucky, too.
Oh, very good.
Well, I would have ordered another one at that point.
Yeah, push
call
your
me
luck.
Greedy, yeah. But no? Didn't want to order another?
I would have if he would have come back. That was half the battle.
There you go.
Short flight from New York all the way back to Chicago. Otherwise, I would have tried to hit up the beverage cart twice. But going to need a lot of wine this preseason with the Chicago Bears, given everything we're having to deal with in this less-than-drama-free situation.
Sure, you got thrown right back into the fire back on the Bears beat after television. So set the table for us, for those just joining us. Tell us what polls said today. And what you know in addition to what is being said.
Yeah, so I thought it was a smart move for Ryan Poles after the Family Fest practice that they had here at Soldier Field to come and address what happened this morning, which is Roquan Smith. He doesn't have social media, so he gave NFL Network these two screenshots, which I verified came from him, kind of stating his desire to not be here. Now, it's caused a lot of controversy because he said a lot of things in there that he didn't feel respected by the team, that he didn't feel the Bears were negotiating in good faith with him, that the offer, you know, more or less was lowballing him for what it's worth, for his position, for his value, and what he means to this team, and that, you know, he had not spoken to the McCaskey family, but he threw that out there, which I think is a surefire sign of a negotiating tactic for a player who's representing himself, that this is not a done deal. He's not, you know, signed, sealed, delivered somewhere else, that this is, you know, going to be an ongoing saga. So then Ryan Poles, you know, came out and talked to us after the practice that, you know, he was disappointed to find that Roquan felt that way. He said that he felt that for as long as they have been talking, both sides, the player and the team. And remember, Roquan represents himself. So those conversations are going on between Poles and the player. It's not that there's no middleman with an agent here. And Poles felt the entire time that they were trending in the right direction, that these things do take time. But, you know, he was surprised, I think, kind of as you heard Matt Eberflus there, just on, you know, the tone that these negotiations have taken, and that Roquan Smith, that it was this dire to the player, that it felt this way. So it's interesting because, I mean, he said he has every intent right now to sign Roquan Smith, to keep working at this thing, but it certainly feels, and it has felt for a while, that both sides are nowhere near being close on this. And I'm really curious to see how, like, now that it's out there that he, you know, this is a negotiating tactic for Smith, how they're going to handle it going forward as far as trying to keep him in the fold here.
I was going to say, Courtney, it sounded like it got personal, which it tends to do when the player represents himself. And it sounded, and maybe you can add some clarity to how Ryan Poles handled it. I agree with you. I thought it was the right thing for him to speak. He sounded, I don't know if he looked, annoyed that it had taken a bit of a personal turn.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I think that, I think he's trying to handle this the best way he can. And when you go back to July 26th, when Poles was asked, well, you know, how difficult is it negotiating with a player who doesn't have an agent? Like, he didn't want to come out and just, like, throw that out there. He's like, well, he played scenarios. Like, it does make things different if a player, like, if a player does not have an agent and represents himself than this. Today, it was very clear that he, you know, was saying, yeah, like, you know, it's player versus team in the negotiations right now. And, you know, you could tell when he's talking about the belief and the philosophy of this front office that they reward their players, the homegrown players, and that he thought that they would be further along at this point. I could tell there's almost like a little bit of exasperation there because, I mean, you've got to think about everything that has gone wrong for this franchise in his first couple months on the job and just like the amount of tenuous situations, whether it's going back to Larry Ogunjobi's failed physical, to Robert Quinn and some of the uncertainty back in training, back in minicamp, and everything this summer with multiple players getting arrested, and now the best player on the team requests a trade. Everybody seems to be hurt in the wide receiver core. Matt Eberflus actually responded to a media member saying, "Oh, I was going to ask you if you could play a receiver." Like, it's a dire situation for a team that is very much in a rebuilding situation, and I just kind of feel like Poles is a little fed up with it right now, and it's like, when is something going to go right? You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the tone that I took away from it and just his comments about Roquan Smith.
2023, that's when something will go right.
We hope.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, if it's in a year, yeah. I hope.
Right.
But, Courtney, all that you just said, and while we point the finger at Roquan, say, well, without an agent, you're being too emotional, you took it too personally, we don't know if Poles is good at this yet. And you've mentioned some of the things, and some of those things have been in Poles' control, like Ogunjobi. So how much do we question, hey, how much good is Ryan Poles doing?
Yeah, and here's the thing. When I like reached out to a few league sources this morning just to get some reaction on the news, you know, an assistant GM and I were talking, and the comment that, you know, struck me is that you don't get players at not market value. You know what I mean? Like, if Roquan Smith is as good as we think he is at the will linebacker position, which is so critical to this defense, we know that because of Matt Eberflus's defense has not changed since he was in Dallas. So it's critical to have someone like Roquan Smith here. But if you weren't going to pay him fair market value, if you were trying to get some sort of discount, then why didn't you try to trade him early on? Like, we knew going into this that he was going to want to reset the market, which is not $17 million. That's a $20 million a year, you know, on an average annual value basis. So if you didn't have the intention to do that, and if you're apparently coming in with a lower number, why even toy around with that? Like, I understand negotiations are a two-way street, and you go back and forth until you can settle on a number. It happens in every negotiation, but if your intent, like, that's kind of what we need to get to the bottom of here, is if your intent is not to make him the highest paid player at his position, then what are you doing? You're wasting time because you can offload, if you really want to, which I think would be dumb, you would offload this player and go ahead and get draft capital back in return because he's 25 years old. He's, you know, one of, if not the best at his position right now, and someone's going to pay him as such if the Bears don't.
Have you heard any whispers as to what some of the numbers are? I mean, what did the Bears offered? What is Roquan looking for? Any rumors or whispers out there?
Yeah, I've heard in the 17 range.
That's what the Bears offered?
That's what I'm hearing right now. And that would be on the lower end of things. Because when you think of what Shaq Leonard made on his deal, what Fred Warner made on his deal, that would be below those two players specifically. So if Roquan is looking for that $20 million a year figure, they're a ways off from that.
Yeah.
Courtney, really quick, how was practice in general today?
It was fine, I guess. I mean, like, I think that...
Oh, no. Sorry.
I kind of feel for Justin Fields right now because when you've got Darnell Mooney and you've got Equanimeous St. Brown and everybody else is injured with this receiving core, which I think is tough. David Moore went down right in front of where I was in the press box with what looked to me like a pretty severe knee injury. And it's just, you know, the wide receiver depth issues with this team are going to be a problem. Like, I mean, we know from Matt Eberflus that N'Keal Harry is going to be out a while. There's no timetable for his return. You couple that with Byron Pringle still being out. Velus Jones didn't practice today. According to Eberflus, he's still day-to-day, but that's not a great sign. I think that there were some good takeaways, but, you know, by and large, this passing offense is still very much a work in progress, and I think that that's going to continue, you know, even into this first preseason game. They don't have the bodies right now. I mean, when you're throwing to Tajay Sharpe and Chris Finke and all these other guys who probably under normal circumstances we wouldn't be talking about potentially cracking the depth chart, but now because of injuries we are entertaining that idea. I think that kind of shows you, you know, just how dire the situation is, that they need wide receiver bodies in here.
Yeah, we need some good news, that's for sure. Courtney, great work. We appreciate you.
Thanks. Courtney.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Courtney Cronin on the Bears beat. You could read her stuff on ESPN.com. Barstool, Big Cat made news yesterday with his back and forth with Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk to him about it coming up next.